John chapter 10, verses 7 to 10. Therefore Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Or as some versions say, and have it in abundance. I've come that they might have life and have it in abundance to the full. One of my favourite authors, Canadian author called Douglas Copeland, who just paints a picture of the young 20s and 30s today, written a series of books about it. He's got one called Microsurfs. Don't know if anyone's ever read it. One of my favourite books. It's a book about a group of young computer programmers for Microsoft. And they leave and form their own company. And like many people of that generation, they come from quite dysfunctional families or broken families. So they bond among themselves. They form their own little tribe of coders. And they're fabulous characters. They think in computer code. And it comes out in the book. They're just great. And you follow them through their life. And one of my favourite parts in the book is it's 3 o'clock in the morning. And it's two guys, still awake, of course, at 3 o'clock in the morning. And they're talking to each other on their computers. Now, they share the same house. They share bedrooms next to each other. But, of course, they don't actually talk to each other face-to-face. They talk on the computers at 3 o'clock in the morning. No question of knocking on each other's door. They're talking. They're in a chat room they've got there, whatever's going on, MSN, whatever it is. And they're chatting 3 o'clock in the morning between the walls. They could just lift up their voices and shout, but they don't. They chat on the computer. And one says, what do you want for your birthday? What do you want for your birthday? And he writes back, he says, I want the key to the next level. Now, I'm getting blank looks from some of you. What's that about? The gamers among you are saying, yeah, I know what that's about. And if you're a computer gamer at all, you know that you, when you're playing computer games, you go from one level to the next, and you find in a lot of them you need a key to get to the next level. When you found the key, you can get to the next level. And what this guy wanted in life was a key to the next level in life. And I thought, that is fantastic. Isn't that what everyone wants? Doesn't everybody want the key to the next level? Suppose Jesus had come and he said, I've come that you might have life and have life more abundant. Suppose Jesus had come and said, I've come that you might have life, that you might have the key to the next level. Wouldn't that make sense? Wouldn't you want to say, I want to follow this Jesus. He's going to give me the key to the next level. No matter what I'm doing, whatever job I'm doing, whatever I'm studying, whatever problems I'm having, whatever difficulties I'm facing, Jesus has come that I might have the key to the next level. And there is a next level. I know there's a next level. I just can't get there. And Jesus is going to show me how. I think that's what this passage is all about. It's about the key to the next level. Jesus says, I am the gate. I am the way in. It's a way into where we were always meant to be. In the ancient world, at night, the shepherds would divide their sheep into individual folds, and then they would put them in a stone fold. You can go into the Welsh Hills and see exactly the same thing on some of your walks in the mountains. There's a stone sort of fold, and the sheep would go in there at night where they'd be safe. But these folds didn't actually have a door. It had walls, four walls, and no door. There was a gate, there was an opening to get in, but there was no door on it, no gate. What would happen was that at night, the shepherd would sleep there. The shepherd himself would be the gate. He would be there, looking after the sheep and protecting them. And no one could come in or out without moving the shepherd out of the way. He was there. He was the key between the sheep and their pasture. and offering safety to them. So he sets himself up as being the one who is there, who's just responsible. And if we're going to go in and be part of his sheep, we pass by him. No one can come in unless he lets them in and ushers them in, and he'll protect them, and it's safe. It's about being in the right place, about being in the centre of God's will, about being there with Jesus protecting you. And maybe that's because I spent half an hour this afternoon watching the Open golf. I don't play golf. I can't actually hit the ball. I'm sure, as I say, I don't slice it, I don't hook it, I just never hit it. Rarely goes to the right or to the left. It rarely goes anywhere. It just stays there and sort of haunts me. And so I gave up golf before I started. But I'm still fascinated by it on television. Just the sight of this ball, you come going to 200 yards and just suddenly drops into the green. Everyone says, yeah, great. You know, it's just landed where it is. That's what we're doing tonight. You know, Katie's kind of landing in the green, in the right place. We're all saying, yeah, you know, great shot, Katie. You know what I mean? You're in the right place. You're in the right place. And you're where God wanted you to be. Stephanie Cook, when she won her Olympic gold medal, said, I felt close to God as I won Olympic gold. And she was in the right place at the right time. But she's a Christian, so she was walking with God, and she's where she should be. And when you're not walking with God, things go wrong. I've got a few sort of quotations, as you do, at least as I do. This one is from a book which I don't recommend, made into a film, which equally I don't recommend. But it's I read it. I haven't seen the film, but I have read the book. It's called Trainspotting by Irving Walsh. And it's about a Glasgow smack addict. Yeah, some of you laughed, some of you obviously read it. It's by a Glasgow smack addict, a heroin addict. And it's an object lesson. If you're ever attracted to drugs, read this book because it'll put you off. And this is what he says. I've cut out the swear words. I'm not even going to attempt the Glasgow dialect, okay? Society invents a spurious, convoluted logic to absorb and change people whose behaviour is outside its mainstream, he says. Suppose that I ken all the pros and cons, know that I'm going to have a short knife and I'm in sound mind, etc., etc., but still want to use smack. They won't let you do it. They won't let you do it because it's a sign of their own failure. The fact that you just simply choose to reject what they have to offer, choose us, choose life, choose mortgage payments, choose washing machines, choose cars, choose sitting on a couch watching mind-numbing, spirit-crushing game shows, stuffing junk food into your mouth. Choose life, not for him. That's not what life is about. He's looking for the key to the next level, and he ain't going to find it in suburbia and in middle-class lifestyle. He's looking for more than that, and so am I, actually. So are you. If all life had to offer was that, then it would be pretty meagre life. We're looking for the key to the next level. As a matter of fact, right at the beginning, he's admitted that his own lifestyle, he's rejected mainstream society. What he's got isn't helping him one little bit either. He says it's a bit raw, excuse it, but says, as long as there's an opportunity to get off with a woman and a purse, and that's it. I've found nothing else, zero, to fill this big black hole like a clenched fist in the centre of my chest. I found nothing else to fill, and it's in capital letters, big black hole in the centre of my chest. He's just found nothing that works. He's looking for the key to the next level, and he has not found it by any means. But you do find it, I always say it's like finding a Phillips head screwdriver that actually fits. And some of you have tried it, yep. Others of you saying, what was that all about? Don't worry about it. But if once, you know, you've got this row, if you're like me, you've got sort of all these different heads of your screwdriver, and you've got sort of about a dozen Phillips head screwdrivers, and you never find one that fits. It's too big, it's too small. You never find one that actually fits. And occasionally just find one that fits the screw. Oh, fantastic. You know? The key to the next level, Jesus came so that we should be where God wants us to be. Becoming a Christian, you know, is very much like coming home. coming to where you always meant were meant to be. It's like coming to be in the very center of God's will. It's like stepping past the shepherd into the fold and being where you belong. And Jesus, you know, Jesus invites you to do that, and me, invites you to come to him, and he will put us where we should always have been, in the center of God's will for us. Isn't that a great place to be? Is that a good reason for following Jesus? Yeah, it's what he does. And when we're there, we find abundant life. I was really sad when Catatonia broke up. The band, Keris, has gone solo. She's great, and she's good. But there were some earthy words to the Catatonia songs. And there's one, they have a song on one of their albums called "Is Everyone Here on Drugs?" And it says, "She takes her happy pills, they keep her happy. Is everyone here on drugs? Mad cows like bumblebees with chemistry degrees. Is everybody here on drugs? Uppers, downers, you don't hang round us. We'll give our lives no meaning." And then the song says, "Don't need your poison. Me, I'll dig the melancholy." In other words, I've rejected drugs, I'm just going to be miserable instead. Well, it's an improvement. It's an improvement. But you want to say, well, must be more than that. Or you can go for materialism, but that doesn't necessarily work, because Tony Parsons, the novelist, says, there's nothing more reassuring than an unhappy lottery winner. Of course there isn't, yeah? There isn't. There was a famous actress when I was a young lad called Raquel Welch, and she gave an interview in the Daily Express, October the 31st, 1972, talking about her life. She said, "I had acquired everything I wanted, yet I was totally miserable. I thought it was very peculiar that I had acquired everything I'd wanted as a child, wealth, fame, and accomplishment in my career. I had beautiful children and a lifestyle that seemed terrific, yet I was totally and miserably unhappy. I found it very frightening that one could acquire all these things and still be so miserable." The abundant life won't come through those things. The abundant life comes through meeting God, and only through meeting God. Often you heard me quote a guy, he's a Christian worker, record producer, and still, I think, makes records in Manchester, a guy called Cameron Dancy. This is what says about, he wrote a book 5 months after he found Jesus as his saviour. And this is what somebody said about it. "You could say Cameron Dancy has been around a bit. The Manchester native has won the British breakdancing championships, pioneered house music in late 80s Spain, fronted short-lived techno Muppets Bizarre Inc., and DJed for Britain's biggest clubs. But that ain't the half of it. He has raced stolen cars around inner cities, overcome a Herculean glue-sniffing habit, hocked stolen goods, lived rough in Paris, Madrid, and Dublin, faced down continental crime lords, and nurtured a cocaine habit that must have contributed significantly to Colombia's GNP. And then when he was coming up to 30 years of age, Cameron was invited to a Christian meeting in an old church. And that night, he knew he had to receive Jesus in his life. He had to give up the drugs and follow Jesus. And he went to the front, and they prayed for him, and Cameron was there. To the next level. To the next level. And a couple of months after, 5 months after his finding Jesus, he writes reflectively. He said, "Is this it then? The eternal high suitably chopped and lined up? Have I filled my hooter?" He writes, you know, coming out of that drug culture. "Have I filled my hooter good and proper with more of the same?" He asked. "Have I just substituted one addiction for another? Have I just climbed up the same mountain I'd been up before, but by a different route?" No, he says, "I don't think so. But I would say that, wouldn't I? You know what this feels like? It feels like nothing like a drug. There are no tingles, blips, buzzes, or rushes. Compare it with the big boys, and Christianity doesn't even register on a scale of sugar-sweet feel-goods. It's something else altogether, something deeper, Is it a high? If it is, it's the broadest one I've ever been on. I feel awake, content, happy with the way things are going. Life isn't just about preserving the moments of present tense ecstasy. It's about purpose, meaning, and everything else in between. It's about purpose, meaning, and everything else in between. And where has he found it? He's found it by following Jesus. I came that you might have abundant life. Life more abundant. Key to the next level. You can translate that as you want. But that's what Jesus offers. And then finally, Jesus brings with all that, he brings us forgiveness. Brings us forgiveness because we need it. The poet Roger McGough, who's not, as far as I'm aware, ever been a Christian, but he writes some very thoughtful poetry. And in one of his poems, it's called Come Close and Sleep Now, he talks about a woman who's involved in an illicit sexual relationship. And he talks about it, and he says this: in the morning, you will put on a dress of guilt and shoes with broken high ideals, and refusing coffee, run all the way home. I just, that phrase, put on your shoes with broken high ideals. Doesn't that absolutely describe everybody on this planet? You put on your shoes with broken high ideals. The times you've missed your moral standards. You recognize that you didn't get it right. And you're sorry. Broken high ideals. We all wear broken high ideals from time to time. And we need forgiveness. We need forgiveness. And we begin to discover the power of forgiveness when we receive Jesus as our Saviour. Jesus makes us clean. Jesus washes us from the past, gives us a new start. There'd be little point having the key to the next level if you took all the guilt and all the problems and all the mistakes of the past to the next level. You're never going to get anywhere, were you? You've got to have a clean start, clean break, a fresh start. There's no other way to get on to the next level but to be forgiven by God. And here's the wonderful thing. God wants to forgive you and me. That's what he wants to do. God loves cleaning us and washing us. And when Jesus died on the cross, he took upon himself all our sins, all our mistakes, all our wrongdoing, all our broken high ideals. Jesus took them and he washed them clean. And we're forgiven. The moment you and I receive Jesus our Saviour, he washes us. And this is what this is about. This is what we testify in water. Just pure water representing the cleansing in the blood of Jesus. And so we go on to follow him. One young man who just in the last year in his church has come to faith in Jesus. We were talking in the car the other day, and he said, you know, Peter, Jesus is my sat-nav. That's what I feel like. I feel like Jesus is my sat-nav now. Jesus is guiding the way. I said, I'm going to use that in a sermon, Matt. He said, that's fine. You can use it. Not a problem. Jesus is his sat-nav. When I was a kid, there was There was a band called the Moody Blues, long forgotten by everyone but the oldest among you. And one of their favourite songs had the line that I've never forgotten. I'm looking for someone to change my life. I'm looking for a miracle in my life. Isn't that the key to the next level? Isn't that life more abundant? I'm looking for someone to change my life. I'm looking for a miracle in my life. Now tell me, where will you find that? Except in Jesus. You name me one person in history who can give you that, who can forgive your sins, who can come into your life and change it, who can lead you to God, who can give you life more abundant. There's only one candidate, and that's Jesus. So this is what I say to you this evening. I want you to consider asking Jesus Christ into your heart as your Saviour. Let him come and take you to the next level. Just throw yourself on him and see where he leads you. I don't know where that will be, but I know it will be new. It will be fresh. It will be like having a sat-nav in your life. It will be like being washed and forgiven. That's Jesus. Let's bow our heads for a second and pray. Father, just pray that everyone here this evening just might know and feel a touch of Jesus in their lives. Lord, as we give thanks for Katie, that we just might to ourselves renew our own commitment to Jesus, to let him lead us through our life abundantly. For that's our prayer in his name. Amen.